morning, and certainly there aren't any documents on the floor lying around in disarray. No one's likely to break their necks here, let alone arms and hands. And I think there have been so many exigencies in the same way that rain upsets the motorists in traffic who look for each little raindrop. The whole thing slows down. When the committee is faced with lack of transport, it also, of course, leads to an element of dysfunctionality. But to anyone who was at a meeting with me yesterday, on behalf of the staff, I apologize for the total disarray in the committee. Now we'll move on from there because they're a very hard-working team, and we'll look at today. In my opening, I just want to indicate that I have to leave on a 20 past one flight today, which means I'll have to leave the meeting at 12 and hand over. So I will formally just indicate that I will be leaving earlier. No, it's not for a facial. It's actually to go and vote in a by-election. Very important. So we then move on. That was my opening, and I would like us now to look towards, and I hope we're going to stick with this agenda. I would like someone to propose the adoption. Thank you, Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, after the apologies, it says consideration of draft minutes, but I think we can remove that. There is an issue there that I'd like that removed, and then adoption thereof. Thank you.
Right, the draft minutes. Honourable Williams would like to have a proper look at that because there are a couple of discrepancies. With respect to the copyright bill, it is the clause by clause, but it is noted there on mine, clause by clause. And thereafter, engagement with the DTI on the copyright amendment bill. We're not going to try and stretch it to quarter to one, but to try and complete our process efficiently. So on that, Honourable Williams recommended we adopt the agenda with a couple of changes there, which we've done. And we now look towards the seconder. Thank you, Honourable McLaughlin. Then we move towards the apologies. My formal apology is now in to leave early at 12. And an apology from our newly appointed whip, the Honourable Becky Sizwe Khadebe. His bag was left in Dubai, only arrived yesterday, and it's not that he likes a change of clothing every day, but that his pills are in there, and being diabetic, he's lost his eyesight. So he's only picking up his bag today, or someone is. So his apology is not in writing, but it is received by myself by telephone and the deputy chief whip. He won't be here this week because it has set him back in hospital for 2 days, but he will be back next week. Right, any other apologies? Oh, the Honourable Mantashe. Her daughter was rushed into hospital last night, her own daughter, and her only family are also in hospital. One on a good note, having had a baby, the others on not such a good note, but more for accidents, etc. So there we are, Honourable Mantashe and Honourable Khadebe. Are there any other apologies of the members? No. Then I did get your informal apology, Honourable MacPherson, about hoping to leave early.
Yeah,
what time?
Also around 12.
Oh. Right. And then, are there any other apologies? No. Then in terms of those who are here to assist us and work with us, we've got, are there any apologies here? Is it still Mr. Nkosinathi Mkhonza, the administrator. I see he's under that area. Under which section does he fall? All right, it's been scratched out.
He's from the DTI chair, yes.
All right, but he's not here.
He's not here today.
No, fine. So there aren't any other apologies?
It's from the CIPC colleagues, Gadi Peje and Lloyd Matsembe.
Clauses, and as chairperson of the subcommittee, you may wish to add anything if necessary. Otherwise, the members will go through. Honourable.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Honourable members. We are going to do clause by clause, but the two documents that are in front of us, these are the department's documents. These are the department's document. We request the other one that we need to do clause by clause from advocate. I don't know. Where is it? Where is the document? We can't deal clause by clause with the document of department.
I understand that our document was distributed yesterday. I'm looking at staff.
All right.
Advocate Van der Merwe.
Chair, I have quickly asked Margot whether members do not have that B bill already, because remember that bill was submitted some time ago, and she says she's not sure that it is actually in a hard copy in front of members, so they are quickly dealing with that and making sure that it is done.
That bill was distributed to us before constituency, actually, but people should have been reminded under here and the distribution again. Mr. Medima, I must say that we've got to address this matter more effectively. But Honourable Matlobo.
No, thanks, Chair. Probably one thing that I wanted to check is that even if this document is not here now, can the legal counsel for us just confirm the similarities of the documents in our possession now, so that if we use the current documents on our tables as a point of reference,
sure,
there is a similarity. If the similarity is yes, I'll suggest we proceed. But if there is a significant material differences or variances, we might have to find a way how to handle it. And then lastly, just as a process issue, we'll request that in future, let's try, even if it's difficult, to get the documents on time, so that at least we become more productive, so that we create and we make decisions that are more informed, because our reading pace is not the same. But on this one, if the council can confirm through chair, and if it's the same, I would suggest we proceed. But
Honourable Matlobo, thank you. Advocate Van der Merwe, I think you've got the gist of that.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the document that is up on the screen is in fact the B bill. It is just the B bill in a cleaned up version, and then it has colour from the DTI to indicate whether something should stay or should not stay. The reason why I said to Margot, I think it's important for members to have the technical bill that we drafted for the committee, is because this is only one of two documents that the DTI has. So I'm just worried that members get confused between working between the two documents. They read the same. So yes, we can continue. But I think it is important for members to have the technical bill, and then that can be used as the central document to make your notes on and so on.
Look, members of the committee, I have had an unprecedented 20-minute meeting with staff before this meeting began, in the hope that we would not face this continued disarray. This is a very serious liability in terms of holding us back. But being who we are, we will take forward the constructive proposal. But I must point out that what the advocate is also saying, we would be writing on this and then beginning to work on another. And for the record, that B bill was ready for distribution either at the end of constituency. When did you return from Brisbane, advocate?
The B bill was available, I think, end of last year already. So it's been done and for some time.
That's the point. I know I've got it in my office. So I think what's got to happen is an absolute focus on one's mandate, whether one is a political person or a member of staff, because we can no longer meander down in the bush. Right. Let's get started without that now. All right. We're going to go clause by clause, and I note for the record, we are working pro tem with the department's bill just to save time. Are we getting the Beeble? Good. Yes?
I have a concern in working in this manner, because this document here says that these are the provisions in the Copyright Amendment Bill that may be retained or removed. Now, who's determined what should be retained or what should be removed? Our subcommittee deliberations said that we will work through the entire bill clause by clause, looking at each one, because these are extraordinarily complicated issues in law, and they have significant import. Now, for us to be presented with a document which says, for example, on the first page, on the preamble, it says retain, nothing will be removed. On what basis? For what reason? I can't work like this. This is not on, I'm afraid.
I will take one brief comment, and then I'm going to reserve. I'll take yours as well, Honourable Languini, but then this is not a debate. I have to rule on it.
Yeah, yes? I'm just concerned about the process in which we're embarking on. You'll recall that the original bill, as presented by the minister, was in fact rejected by the committee, and the committee was then going to rewrite. Yes, and that. So now what I don't understand is why it is in consultation with the DTI and what the DTI believe should be retained or rejected, when in fact it should be what the committee believes should be retained or rejected. We rejected the DTI's bill from the outset. And so I detect a real desire to try and rush this bill through, to try and to try and cut corners, and that's what I'm concerned about in this process that we're embarking on.
There was never that, and let me tell you right now, if that was the case, I wouldn't be asking for the dismissal of people. Now, please not pursue this. This is a serious, serious admin error, and let's accept it. There is no political machinations in this whatsoever. Not whatsoever, at all. And I would never have spent the time trying to ensure we had a smooth process. The chairperson of the subcommittee just can't believe what we're facing. She's sitting there. There's not one member. So I don't want to debate, Honourable Flanguini.
Thanks, Chair. Oh, I'm covered.
So what we're going to do is allow me to have 2 minutes to clarify where this document is of the subcommittee. All right? 2 minutes. Fine, thank you.
Five minutes.
8th, Tuesday. No, I'm aware of that one, but I will be, yes. On the 8th is a bit late, so next week, what day are people going to be here who are in the country? Will you be here on Wednesday next week? Staff included. Right? Anyone who's not going to be here, who's not on the trip. Everyone else can be here on Wednesday, am I right? Well, just the regular time, not 4 a.m. So then...
Madam Chair, on
Wednesday, yes, in the morning.
Oh, well, I hope people have booked their flights now because they won't get back. All right, that's entirely up to yourself, Comrade Larota, and I assume you're quite happy to make it 10 on Wednesday. You're chairing the subcommittee.
No, don't you say yes.
All right.
Chair, we'll meet in the afternoon on Wednesday.
What time?
1 o'clock.
Yes, Honourable Albert?
Madam Chair, I just have a meeting between 1 and 2 in Cape Town here. So at 1 I won't be able to join you, but before that, and then I would also like to know if we're going to get overtime pay.
No, I'm wondering if we shouldn't establish a little union of parliamentarians. No, we'll make the our lawyer the shop steward. Yeah. Oh no, you. Thank you, comrade. So what I'm suggesting is a simple exercise: is that next week, everyone's listening. Next week we are meeting. Not, I won't be here. The committee will meet as a subcommittee. Hands up, everyone who's going to be there. I'm noting that you're not going to be there 1 to 2 from 1 o'clock, which is when you want to set it. You want to set it at 1 o'clock, okay? Who's going to be there at the meeting on Wednesday next week? Please, I need to know this. If one person, two people, yourself, Honourable Easterhuizen, you're critical there, three. And, oh, just a finger, dear. Comrade Lerato, that's four of you. And what's happened to you? Oh, Yanni, you're on the debt trip, are you? Where are you then? But where are you? It's a working day. Okay, all right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You've virtually got a full committee. Maybe we ought to reestablish you as the acting chair in that committee. But do the subcommittee issue. Crack it into shape so that when we return as a full committee, which will be on the 8th. Is someone here making notes of staff? Someone. On the 8th, you've got consideration of the National Credit Amendment Bill. That stays the same. Take the cougar out. You know, I mean, the cougar will still be around, I'm sure, blowing up everywhere. So then on the Wednesday, we're going to put the cab in. Cab will come back on Wednesday, right? Then we go to Thursday. We have the consideration of the National Credit Amendment Bill in the afternoon, and then we proceed. We proceed with cab. Do you understand? Please make a note of that. We proceed with cab on Thursday from 5 o'clock until 10 o'clock on Thursday, the 10th of May. Right. Thursday, the 10th of May. That's a Thursday. Make those notes. Make sure that Mr. Herman pulls us down a new program before Mr. Williams closes the meeting. Right. And then he will rejig this program for all of us. You know, update it and distribute it. Mr. Hermans. All right, Mr. Hermans. I am now going to apologize officially to the department, to other members here, and guests, and to the committee, and to say it is now 10 to 10, and I would like an acting chair to be nominated to take over when I leave. And we have not, and I can't run this process, you have to, Mr. Medema.
Good day, members. By virtue of the opportunity given to me, the chair will be excusing herself. May I get nominations for acting chair?
I nominate Honorable Comrade Williams.
Mr. Williams has been nominated. Is there any seconder? Seconded. Are there any opposing views? None.
Right. Now, let's proceed. Mr. Sheldon will liaise with Mr. Hermans on getting this program redone. I don't want to waste any more time right now. I'm sure you understand. Right, now let's see if we've all got the right document in front of us. It's called a B bill, all right? It's called B13, is that correct? 2017. Now, are we all together here? Now, while the preamble is not actually directly part of the bill per se, nevertheless, it's useful to have read it and noting that we've added the word ownership there. So I put that to you, which has hardly changed, as you can see. Yes, right. Then be it enacted by the Parliament of the RSA as follows. Now I need to ask the staff, are all of those sections and acts correct? In bold there. One, section, right, clause one. A, no changes. Except, well, sorry, there is a change there after the colon. You see what, we're down to the colon. We're already after hereby amended. We've done A1A by the insertion before the definition of adaptation of the following. By the insertion, and we're looking at the insertion. Remember, whatever is underlined is an, we've added it, all right? So you now look at the addition. Ms. Sheldon, you must work very closely here with me. Right. Have you all? If I don't see a hand, I'm moving. The committee has got that insertion. Does the department through the DDG wish to say anything?
Chair, it is the same document we have. We're fine.
Yes, but I mean in terms of the insertion, the department has no problem either.
No.
Now remember, by saying they don't have a problem doesn't mean to say they have a problem, then we jump in and say, yes, okay. We hear what it is. And we assess, do we want to take it into account? Is that clear? So there's no automatic use. Page 3. Now you'll see further stuff in red here. Audiovisual work means. These are your definitions. And you have explanation then. Yes, Honourable McLaubel?
Just a technical matter so that we can follow you. The use of the one, I know that the other one, the underline, it means that it's been changed. Then there are those that are written in bold. Then now there are those who are written in red. Can we be advised so that when we go, it becomes much quicker so that we know that if you see this color, what does it mean?
Right.
And then, so that we can follow through. Thank you, Chair, because
you've got a...
Yeah.
Members, a lot of you received the explanation last year, but some of you are also in this particular meeting for the first time. Honourable Advocate van der Merwe, could you enlighten everyone?
Thank you, Chair. Maybe just to thank members a little bit back so that we understand where this document that is before you comes from. The bill that was introduced, a number of the comments received from the public was concerned about technical wording of clauses. So the committee agreed that a team be put together, consisting of myself representing the committee, from trade and industry, the state law advisor, and we reworked the whole bill. Everything that is in red indicates something that has changed. So that is just to indicate to members what we have done. If we move the whole clause, then we retained it in black, but we changed the clause number will be in red. So it is just the red is just to give members an idea how this bill differs from the bill as introduced. So that is what the reason for the red is. Once the committee has worked through this bill, all the writing will go back into black font. So the red is kind of just to highlight to members, something changed here from the bill as it was introduced. And the reason for that, all of these changes, is simply technical. It is to make the bill read a bit easier than when it was introduced. Then in general, we are dealing with an amendment bill. So as the Honourable Member also mentioned, and the Chair as well, anything that is underlined means that it is something new that is added to the Principal Act. In your definition, the words are also in bold, but they're still being added if they are underlined. The only time when something is removed from a bill is if it is in bold and between square brackets. So that is when we know that that phrase is going to be out. Once the bill is passed, then if the bill is the act is consolidated, that phrase will no longer be part of the bill. Then in this document itself, there's also little blocks inserted. Some of them are drafting notes, some of them are policy, some of them are policy concerns. So the drafting note is just to highlight what we did when we redrafted this bill, and they will be taken out. The policy concerns are things when we get to that clause that we will ask members to consider. Because as we were drafting, those were things that we didn't feel correct to amend because we didn't know what the policy direction was going to be by the committee. So we tried very, very hard not to make any policy changes to the bill as it was introduced. We simply changed it technically. But all the blocks in this document will also be taken out. So that is not what the bill will look like in its final phase. It is just to highlight now what has happened. And then there are some comments towards the end where there were still some questions outstanding while we were working on the technical draft. So those will just have to be looked at as we get there as well. And most of those are questions that the department will have to just give us a final bit of clarification so that we are sure that the text reads well. So I've now said a lot, but maybe just to summarize, the red is what we've changed. The blocks and comments are simply things for the committee to take note of. There might be a question, then we'll have to deal with the question, but in the end, the red will go back to black and the blocks will be taken out. Thank you.
Members, it's important that everyone is on board with that process so that we work effectively. Right. No, I'm just making sure. We then go to the C here. We then go to continuation with the insertion, commercial, means the obtaining of direct, etc. We then move to D. Then the Companies Act and insertion again. Many of these things were to bring our bill into alignment with other pieces of legislation. Then we go to E, the definition there, which is inserted again on copyright. Management means what? Then F, the insertion of the following definitions comes in. Open license, orphan work, and the A and B of that. G, performance. What do we mean by the performer performance? person with disability, what do we mean by that, defined it? Page 4. H, the definition of sound recording, added to insertion, technologically protected work. Technological protection measure. A. The department too, if they wish to, just put your hand up, DDG. A. B. After the large H, we have the I, which continues on with the insertion of the definition of traditional work. And what does tribunal mean in the context of this bill? We're still on track. Yes, DDG?
No, we are still on track, Chair. It's just that in terms of the approach, what we were going to do was to take the committee through the different clauses in the bill and maybe highlight the areas that we think could be reviewed. But I think what we are doing now is to go through everything to make sure everyone is on the same page. I'm hoping that we'll still get that opportunity.
You see, the whole issue is this, that with the department's work, we do have the document, the 12th of October. Is that still standing, this document? And if that is the case, what many of us do is to look alongside that, because the department would have had the chance to look at the B bill and to work with the subcommittee. When I say work with, to be in that committee and to add. And when we look here, when it says retain, it was not an instruction to us. It's an instruction to themselves to say, well, we don't have a problem here. We don't have a problem here. We don't have a problem here. And then when they get to something else, I'm looking at this at the bottom of page 3, they would have said, not applicable, as fair use is not applicable. So all I'm trying to say is that document just simply goes alongside. But at the end, the DDG will raise some pertinent points for the department, which, as I say, it's a matter of us hearing what has been said and then taking our own committee decision. Right, to go back on track, because so far we're on track. Am I correct then, DDG, Ms. Orcha? Insertion of Section 2A. Yes, Advocate?
Sorry, Chair, if I can just take the committee back to the last one, the tribunal. We are now busy with the definitions clause, and I wouldn't suggest that we make any decisions now or any discussions now. I just want to alert the committee that there is a proposal from trade and industry to change this so that it doesn't read the intellectual property tribunal, but it will read the copyright tribunal. But now, like I say, let us just keep in mind that once that decision is taken, and that is a couple of clauses on, then we will just come back from a drafting point of view and correct it. But I just thought to highlight that for now.
No, I think that's very valuable at this point in time. We'll just note it in the text. Are we all on board? Right. Then we look at the scope of copyright protection, 2A. To B. Well, it's two, capital A, B. Yes, Honourable McPherson?
Yeah, thanks. I just want to understand why copyright protection would, or the scope of it would not extend to computer programs. Yeah, if I can just have an understanding on the rationality behind that.
Yes, Honourable Tiako, do you want to, do you sit on the subcommittee, Honourable McPherson? No. Do you want to enlighten the committee? Or otherwise we can turn to the technical staff, but this came from the committee.
Chair, the subcommittee for now, we do have a summarized vision of what we have done. We haven't looked at the section itself to clause 2A. What we're saying, there's a tribunal, there's a debate whether to retain or to expand it to a copyright tribunal. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying here, as advocate is saying, we're not here to take a decision. They're here to check the technical part that they've dealt with, to let the members know what is it that they've worked on the document.
Sorry, Chair, if I might. I mean, as I understand, this is a clause-by-clause reading of the bill. So, in that process is where, we should be able to discuss or, debate, either accept or reject particular parts of the bill. So, I've asked, what is the rationality between or for excluding copyright towards computer programs. Now, in my mind, a computer program would be anything that operates an electronic platform or system, a payment platform, for example. Let's use SnapScan. There is a computer program and algorithm behind that. That surely has to be protected. But in this, as it would read here, that would be excluded. So I don't have the understanding why.
Now what we're going to do, we're going to flag these issues, all right? Because remember, the subcommittee will be meeting next week. So we've asked that question. You can comment briefly, but it's actually going back to the subcommittee for clarification so that we deal with it on the 8th of May. 8th of May as a committee. So next week it'll go back to a subcommittee. Yes, DDG?
I think I'll just clarify the whole provision in section in clause 2. What we are saying is that not everything qualifies as a copyrighted material. So, for example, an idea cannot be classified as a copyright. So there are anything that is available in the public. Let's say there's a computer, something related to a computer program that is freely available. You cannot take that and say it's your copyright. So the principle around this whole process, this whole provision, is like, let's use the bill, for example. You can't take the copyright bill and say it's my copyright because it's but I think we can also flag that. We can also flag that point.
That's right. So what we're going to do, and now I'll hear Honourable Flanguini, but we are going to flag this for the subcommittee. Honourable Flanguini.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, I was also wanting to agree with you to let's flag it. Let's not debate it now here. And then you can debate it further or elaborate it more further in the subcommittee and come back with a more substantial response and stuff. And if the Honourable McPherson feels, then he can even address it through Mr. Kachalian, which is sitting on the subcommittee for the DA. So I think, yeah.
No, I think this is it. We don't want to duplicate our work. Advocate Vandermova.
Thank you, Chair. In fact, maybe just point out, when we read in Clause 2, the new Section 2A, 1, Paragraph B, it says copyright protection subsists in expressions and not in the case of computer programs, in interface specifications. So it is not about computer programs, it is about interface specifications. Now, I must be honest with you, I have no idea what that means. But I know that the
subcommittee, Advocate Vandermova, yes, and all of our members, you're going to deal with it in the subcommittee. And Honourable Kachalia will be there, will you not? Yeah, right.
Just, if I can just say DGI has an expert in copyright here, and I'm sure that she can explain to us what interface specifications mean. Machine is sitting over there, and I'm sure that she can just explain to us what interface.
If she'd like to air her lungs, yeah, go ahead. Because I had taken a decision, you see, that this should be in the subcommittee. Our problem is we've lost an hour, and the subcommittee will be working flat out. So I do want to move on. A table compilation, etc. That's two. Paragraph two. Paragraph three. We're flagging that one on the... just flag. Right. Then we've got four. A. Inextricably merged with an idea such that the idea can be expressed intelligibly only in one or a limited number of ways, or when a particular expression is required by law. Subsist in, you've got official texts, which we've just used that example, the law. Speeches. There are mere items of press information. Amendment of Section 5. I just want to raise one thing as chair, and I'd like the subcommittee to look into it, and is that Ms. Mahendra sitting there, Padiachi, sorry, yes. I hope you will be able to join the subcommittee next week, you see. This issue of speeches and making, it says here, that could be regarded as press information. The issue becomes, particularly where politicians are concerned or other professional people, where your actual quotation is changed. So you make the speech, etc. It is no longer yours now because it was press information, but surely a public vehicle of information doesn't have the right of changing that. So it is something I would like, Ms. Padiachi, if you wouldn't mind taking that seriously in the subcommittee. And we'd certainly want to hear what you have to say at the end of this process. We then move further down the page to the amendment of Section 5, 98 of 1978. Section 3. You've got a box there, yes. Policy funded by, etc. Policy concern. I think you did refer to this, didn't you, Advocate van der Merwe, about what was in the box, yes. Do you want to comment on anything there, Dr. Masocha?
On this one, the only comment I would like to make is that it's one of the areas that was a bit contested regarding whether the state can own copyright. So it's one of the areas that is being contested. For example, if you look at the DTI incentives, if we use the principle that if you fund a specific activity as government, then you own the copyright, then it's a complicated matter then, because then what does it mean for the funded activity? So it's a gray area. I just wanted to flag that.
I just want to alert members. Sorry, I do see a hand, but somewhere at the back there, and I can't see who it is. Oh, Honorable Esterhazen.
Thank you, Chair. I still have a problem with this fund. There's not really a definition for funded by the state. There's still uncertainty of which works will be owned or owned by the state. There's restriction placed on researchers to develop their research. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that comes from this. And I know the bill does provide for authors and even academics to approach courts if they feel their rights are being infringed upon. But I don't think that's really insufficient protection, given the prohibitive cost of legislation and all that, Chair. Thank you.
Honourable Ms. Lobo?
Well, I don't think it should be a grey area, Chair, because whoever does the funding and the person accepts funding, it depends what are the conditions they enter into. And we don't have to be putting it here in the bill because it becomes a contract of some sort. If I give you funding, you produce an idea, and we agree whether this funding has any issue that has to deal with the copyright or the IP, is a choice you make. The only issue, this is where when you have some of the institutional arrangements, when you have that structure that is there institutionalized, it can be able to determine so that those funders don't exploit, you see, those other people. But I don't think we should be able to say as if there is vacuum in law. There is no vacuum.
Thank you very much, Honourable Maslobo. Honourable Kachalia.
I think the way this is stated, and I think it is correct to say that this is, needs to be flagged and discussed in subcommittee because the definition is too broad in terms of artistic work or films that are, for example, that are funded by government and state money. Ownership cannot be vested in, and it cannot be rail. Sometimes people are railroaded in terms of the contracts they sign. So the definitions have to be tightened up, and made absolutely crystal clear. Otherwise, we would not be doing our duty.
So we're flagging that, Honourable Tiako. In terms of the definition, we do need to know what we mean. And you could also take account of the peculiarity around paintings. Someone contracts an artist to paint. Now, artist says, no, but that is mine. That's my copyright. You can't just change it. But the purchaser said, it is mine. Actually, I bought it. I contracted you. And so I'd like you to look at that without extending it into a doctorate. All right. Anyway, let's just get to the next point. Number four. Oh, sorry, DDG.
Another point, apart from the definition, there is a potential conflict with the mandate of the Department of Science and Technology around the NIPMO. So I think that's another issue that we should throw in there as well.
Mandate conflict.
Yes.
But I just go back to the previous thing where it speaks about G, doing in relation to an adaptation of the work, any of the acts specified in relation to the work. So that's been taken out, you know, the brackets there, those square brackets. So you'll look back and you'll see that this is a reference to the amendment in terms of the communication wire and wireless. And there's a view that that should come out. We don't have a problem, I see. So we move on. Insertion of Section 6A in Act 98 of 1978. The following section is hereby inserted, etc., in the Principal Act. The royalties. Now, you do know royalties is a critical component of this. And I say that not because authors aren't of any value, but the performers have been largely left out with respect to the payment of royalties or abused. An author boom, he transfers this or that literary, musical work to another person, shall have the right to claim half of the royalty payable to that other person for use of such a copyright. We all clear on what that means? DDG?
The intention of this provision was to ensure that authors of music, authors published literal authors who never used to receive incentives for their work will receive something. We just want to suggest something on this clause that the use of the word transfer might contradict the royalties, because if you transfer, it's like you're assigning something, and when you assign, you cannot come and claim the royalty on it. It's like when you sell your house, you cannot come back and rent your house. So we are proposing that we make it clear about the royalty itself. So the word transfer may need to be relooked. And also, in terms of the equitable half or the split of the royalty, we are saying that we want to also add something related to contracting, to allow the parties to contract as well, and then also have an option of the 50-50. So we want to strengthen that provision like that.
Right, let's just hear one more on this, then it goes to the subcommittee.
Thanks. I just want to understand, what is that born out of, or where does that recommendation come from? Because I think that it has quite far-reaching consequences. Let's, for example, if I commission a biography to be written about myself, which then I have paid for that work to be done, will that person who wrote that work be entitled to 50% of the profits of the book? I don't believe that should be so. I've commissioned them for a work, and at that time of publication, that property belongs to me. So I just need some clarity on that.
I'd like you to provide it, then it must go into the subcommittee, please. Yes, DDG?
In terms of the 50-50, in the arrangement of the copyright, I am the author, but then I would use a publisher. There will be someone there as well that would probably take some of the costs and the administration of marketing my work. So when we say 50-50 is about the arrangements of the split between my work and then the other person that might be helping me, plus the other parties in the picture. What used to happen is that the publishers used to receive most of the money without sharing with the author. So the author will write, but because of the arrangement, they wouldn't get their incentive or proper incentive.
Yes, I thought you were going to pursue this in the subcommittee.
We'll,
go ahead.
We'll pursue it in the subcommittee. Just safe to say that this particular clause here is germane to the entire spirit of the bill, because it's about contract versus legislation, and we have to understand that conflict very carefully, whether the contract covers it sufficiently or whether legislation is required to subsume and supplement it. And that is at the heart of this, because we're treading very muddy waters here, and we'll look at it in subcommittee.
No, thank you. And it's clear that you already have a clear understanding of it, in fact. So thank you. We move on. Honourable Tiako, you're flagging all these that are coming back to yourself. All right, order a midnight meal. And then we go further down into the box. All right. And we then, and that, of course, is the drafting note. We move down to the amendment of Section 7 of Act 98. Etc. 1978. 6. Section 7. As hereby amended, A, and then you've got the underlining. Don't worry about all these D's and A's. What happens is when we get this final one, Advocate van der Merwe, am I right, that all falls into line on the numbering, per se. Communicating the work by wire or wireless means. What does it mean? Right? B. Just one more. Okay. by a substitution for paragraph F of the following paragraph. Doing in relation to the adaptation of a work any of the acts specified in relation to the work is simply in line with what has already been agreed upon. It is deleted. Then we come to the drafting note, and what do we mean by insertion of section 7A, 98, etc. The following sections are hereby inserted in the principal act after section 7, and as I keep on emphasizing, this is about getting these royalties sorted. Royalties, on that one. Advocate Van der Merwe.
Just on clause 6, if I look at DTI's document, this is one of the clauses that they are concerned whether it is something that should be part of the bill at this point in time or should rather go to a second phase. I don't have the reasoning behind that, but I think perhaps that is something that should be addressed before we move to the next clause.
Right, DDG.
Chair, the okay. In terms of if we were to follow the approach that we came here with, we were going to propose that. But I think in terms of the intention of the provision itself, the intention of this provision is to ensure that works can be made available by wireless, in any format of wireless, anywhere at any time. But if we were to follow that approach we came with to say what is phase one, what is phase two, this was going to be in the next phase. But for the purposes of understanding what the bill is about, this is more about accessibility using wireless digital measures.
Members, look, I think we're moving all right. We've already indicated that certain things must go back to the subcommittee, all right? And where we must remember, Honourable Tiako, you know we've got the technical consultants. I really would suggest that you get a handle on these technical consultants and get the staff, one of the secretaries, to organize that such technical members are invited. Because you're now at that critical stage where you need that consultant's expertise. All right. So please ensure that you work with a very reliable secretary. Yes.
No, I think, Chair, thanks. I think you're correct, because in as much as we're doing currently what I can call it technical amendments, but let's flag the key policy issue now, so that when the committee sits there, we don't just become technical, because this amendment is made to change the landscape. For an example, I was happy the manner you raised the question of royalties. When the sitting happens there, we must also look what were the comments that were being made, because they were very fundamental. And the issues that we are saying the technical consultants. Right now, this issue of wire and wireless are issues around means of access and actually issues around how they get to be distributed, because these are the fundamental issues. I hope that the team, while we're going through this technical issue, the fundamental issues, we don't lose them.
Absolutely critical. That is the plank on which this bill is resting. The plank is to address the fact that many, many members of our society were left out. Right, let's move. Sorry, I was just finishing royalties, artistic work 7A, that transfer. We've addressed that to some extent before, but it's now just clarifying it on page 7. Then we look at the resale royalty right. That's a very difficult one. It came up several times during the hearings because it's money involved here. 7B, the author of an artistic work in which the copyright subsists must be paid royalties on the commercial resale of his or her work. Now, that's a fundamental principle there, which we cannot lose sight of. And we're very lucky to have you, Ms. Pagliacci. Then you've got 7B here, 7.2a there, the paragraphs, royalties in respect of artistic works. And now this is something which is important that we inserted. How shall it be payable? How? At the rate prescribed by the minister. After consultation with the minister responsible for arts and culture. I only ask one thing. That is the Minister of Arts and Culture. And the issue came up as to why not the Minister of Finance, because it is not a direct government transaction. All right? Then B, Honourable MacPherson?
Yes, sorry, I'd actually asked Honourable Fatalia to make the point because, he made a good point, which I was going to make, but I think it's better coming from him.
I just think that the difference of this to the to ministerial discretion is problematic because we have provision in contract and we have market mechanisms which determine how our contract is governed. If we then allow ministers in various portfolios to ride roughshod over this and determine anything from 0 to 100, as it were, we're opening the door to a fair bit of madness, in my view.
Honourable Masloba, Paul?
No, I think we can discuss the matter in the committee. We'll hold different views. We are going to hold fundamental different views because there will be certain assumptions that are going to be made. And if the state is going to regulate, which is nothing wrong that states regulate to protect the most vulnerable, it does not mean that the state will willy-nilly just make decisions without taking into account what is the going rate, what are the markets, but also ensure that these vulnerables, they don't when under pressure during difficult times. They do it's more about the safeguard around exploitation.
Yes.
Let's have a discussion in the committee. By the time we come back here, we are much clearer to say what are the balance and checks.
I think that would be the correct approach. We do know what is embedded here, the policy embedded here. But I take the point that you have made, Honourable Kachalia, which I ask you to raise within the subcommittee again. DDG?
Chair, it is very important that in some instances to protect the vulnerable, that the ministers are given certain discretions. We have seen abuses in different sectors where industry on its own is allowed to prescribe or come up with its own fees. Different industries, they will go for the maximum without looking at the public interest. So ensuring that ministers are involved, of course, taking into account the processes and consultations, it should be allowed.
You know, you must try to take into account, Honourable Members, we're starting this. There isn't anything before. So if I was a vulnerable black artist or performer or whatever, I've never got a royalty. I've never received a royalty. I stood on a darn street corner and they said, how much? You know, and I gave a figure and that was the end of it. And I got tuppence for it. And then it was resold and resold, and the value goes up. So I think we need to understand where we are. This is the first. Honourable Tlangwini?
Thanks so much, Chair. I just have a suggestion, and I don't know if it was done already, because I think this comes from one of the public hearings that we were having. So I will just submit, Chair, that maybe perhaps those presentations that we get from those public hearings, we just make a pack for all of the committee members, because I think this was in form of in one of the public hearings that we felt the need that this must be in the bill. I
know, just a quick response. We do have them in, in huge book file form. If you didn't get it, because I know you were ill at one point, we must just ensure that a copy is made available. Honourable Ms. Lawball?
Without trying to labour the point, this one, some of the issues we must just accept as members of the committee that some of them they must remain as policy intents. But the mechanisms on how certain people were given authority by this law, ultimately when it becomes law, will probably have to demand that so that there is certainty. They develop the right regulations, they come, we see them. Because for an example, the mechanism on how to set up rates, what are the considerations that I can make, it can only be determined by the minister when he puts some regulations so that there is no arbitrary action on part of the minister.
I think that's important as well, and it may well address the point that was raised by yourself, Honourable Pachalia, but let us leave that with the subcommittee. We then move on, and yes, from now on, bring you those files with you, you know, the public hearings. It's very valuable in the subcommittee and elsewhere. The author of an artistic work shall be entitled to receive that resale royalty if, at the time when the resale is concluded, the person was and is a South African citizen or is resident. The term of validity of the resale royalty has not expired. We may want to understand, what does that mean? How does a resale royalty expire? You know, perhaps Ms. Padiachi, you want to just jump in here quick, air that voice?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. So copyright protection subsists for your entire lifetime as well as 50 years after you die. So that 50-year period is when your right will expire. And the reason why you're also protecting during 50 years after your death is that your heirs can also benefit and receive the same rights which you have been alive. Thank you.
Thank you. And that is where this document does become rather valuable. It's got that extra information on the intention of the policy at a particular point. Honourable Buyani?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. I think I'm covered by Ms. Padayak that the resale must be at least equivalent to the sale. If you sell in the first place, then if you resale, same price. Yeah, thanks.
We do need that protection. Honourable Alberts?
Madam Chair, may it not be simpler just to say that similar validity of the copyright has not expired, because once the copyright has expired... So, in Roman numeral 2, the term of validity of the resale royalty right has not expired, to replace the words resale royalty right with copyright. Because obviously you cannot claim anything if there's no copyright anymore. Your resale, can
a very valid point. Are you going to be in that subcommittee?
Yeah,
please, I am. Flag that, because what I hear coming from the Honourable Alberts is very pertinent. And I think I see a couple of nods even here. Is that right on my left? Worth looking at, yeah.
And then just a technical question back on Roman numeral 1.
Yeah.
Resident, I suppose somebody who's illegally in the country can go to court and say, well, I'm a resident, so we need to clarify whether we're talking about people who are legally resident or people who are not legally resident, because somebody who's illegally here can create a wonderful piece of work that makes a lot of money.
They should be remunerated, but let me leave that one. Honourable McLawball.
I suggest it gets flagged, because in the security cluster, there have always been challenges. Anyone who's here enjoy all the rights under the sun. And we've been taken to constitutional court on several instances. Let's just look at it. There's a thin line. We know when they actually even say they have a right to income. They have certain rights, all these other rights. Let's be able to say where there are interlinkages with other legislation or court rulings. Just be able just to pay attention to that. It's an important aspect.
No, it is very important. And as you say, you can also bring to mind, call to mind, your experiences in this area. So don't forget, you're sitting in that committee, subcommittee, Honourable Albert, Honourable Matlobo, raise this and let's get it very clear. Because what's the point of putting in a word like resident unless you had meant it to be confined to X? I think that is an important one. A, C, D, the rest are all down there at the bottom of the page. 4. A resale royalty applies, right applies, whether or not the author was the first owner of any copyright of the work. Resale royalty applies. Understand that. Remember the issue we spoke about, someone commissioning a work, etc. I don't really think you need to flag that. I mean, if people want to raise the issue. Proof of author. Proof of author. Page 8. Below the highlighting. Where a mark or name purporting to identify a person as the author of an artistic work appears on such a work, that person is, in the absence of evidence to the contrary, presumed to be the author of such a work. If an artistic work... Sorry, there seems to be a little bit of consternation on the second row, in the second row. No consternation. No. All right. If a work of more than one author, is the work of more than one author, the presumption in subsection 1 applies to each co-author, fair enough, or includes indigenous cultural expressions or knowledge, the relevant indigenous community is entitled to an equitable share in the resale royalty payable. Honourable McPherson?
Thanks, Chair. I just want to flag this issue because I think it goes back to commissioned biographies. I think that there needs to be a clear understanding of a of the difference between an authored intellectual work and a commissioned work on a biography, because you know that is a contractual issue between the commissioner and the commissioned, and I don't believe that an author can own the copyright to a commissioned biography that they are paid for.
As you were saying that, I was just looking across at something. I don't know if you would rightly classify a biography as artistic. You know, I'm just trying to get a handle on that. Because this is referring to artistic works, you see. Sculpture, this, that, and the next thing. Now, and I would have thought a biography was rather more in the nature of a cool, calm, academic kind of expression. So I would not have seen it as the same level as a sculpture or a piece of art.
Well, Chair, I mean, I would agree if the definition, if there is a definition in the Act on what an artistic work would be. So maybe if we clarified that particular point, that might be helpful. But again, something for the subcommittee to look at.
Well, looking at the Act, the current Act, it talks here, it's a bit small, the writing, so an artistic work means, irrespective of the artistic quality, you know, I mean, use your toe or something, painting, sculptures, drawings, engravings of photographs, works of architecture, craftsmanship, and the like. So I think there was in this definition, I would never have thought of bringing the concept of biography. if you want to get your colleague to take that into the subcommittee, it can. And just before that, though, because I know that Honourable Alberts wants to comment.
Yes, Madam Chair, I just want to clarify, if we look back on page 7, you'll see there's a heading three quarters to the top. It says resale royalty rights regarding artistic works. Now, an artistic work in the original Copyright Act are, like you said, sculptures and these type of things, because there's 8 different kinds of works created that's protected by copyright. A biography would be a literary work. So we're not dealing with that as yet. I suppose we would get to that. But the literary work that's commissioned, so if somebody pays you to write about their life story, a commission is designed in the current Copyright Act to automatically transfer ownership of the copyright to the person who commissioned the work. So the writer would lose his right to the copyright. But in terms of our amendments, he would be or she would be entitled to royalties on resales. So we'll get to that point.
No, I think that really clarifies that one. Let's not belabor the point. Do you agree, Honourable Kachalia?
So on that point, I agree. We'll address that as Honourable Alberts has said. However, on B, where it says it includes indigenous cultural expressions, now that is needs to be flagged because that's extremely broad. For example, if somebody in a painting included a shamrock, for example, would that be the appropriation of Irish cultural heritage? In an architectural expression, where they build an edifice, if they built it in the style of a kraal that is Ndebele, does the Ndebele community now have rights on the architect's sale of the building or the owner's sale of the building? These are very broad things that need to be flagged.
Yeah. What I'm going to advise the subcommittee to do. And it's a good thing we've got some lawyers there as well, is the go through to the Principal Act where you've got that, because remember, this is simply an amendment. What we don't amend is retained, quite clearly, you see. So we look there, and I think you said so, Honourable Alberts, there are about 7 categories, 5 or 7 categories, and let's see what we mean. Can we rather do it that way? Are we agreed? Thank you. My word, you're going home at 1 a.m. Right, Advocate van der Merwe.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to draw members' attention to the drafting note on the top of page 8, because the issue of commissioned work is, in fact, a concern on this resale royalty rights. Not so much in respect of literary works, but there are artistic works such as architectural and engineering drawings, circuit layouts, commercial logos, icons for applications, all of those things will be artistic works, but they will be commissioned. So it is something that we've already said we need to look at that. These kind of things need to be excluded from the resale royalty right, or we need to make a provision specifically for commissioned work do not be included here. So it is something that we have flagged. And if I can then just quickly comment on the issue of indigenous cultural expressions. This speaks to the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act that deals with indigenous knowledge. And there is a definition for this. It is defined in that bill. But I have also, when I discussed all the submissions initially with this committee, one of the comments I've made is that we might have to look at transitional provisions to be added into this bill, because that Act is not yet operational. So if we add things in here that deals with cultural expressions and things like that, we have a problem that there isn't currently an operational definition for it. So it definitely becomes something where we need to look at transitional provisions.
Let me first of all take Honourable Williams, because it's directly related, and then the Honourable Alberts.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with regard to commissioned work, I recall during the public hearings that the people that came representing photographers, that individual, that he talked about he was commissioned to take a photograph of a hotel and he was paid for that commissioned work. And then later on, years later, that same photograph was used by that hotel again and again and again, and he wasn't paid for that. So then that's where that problem comes in. So, I mean, if we exclude those things and then that person who then owns that that photograph or whatever, then later on says, I own it, I can use it for whatever I like, then the person that originated, the person who made the photograph, can't then benefit from it later. So that's why we wanted it them to have some sort of rights after they've done the commissioned work. Thank you.
Again, we come back to what one of our members keeps on emphasizing, Honourable Maslobo, and that is, what is the policy here? What is our intention? And then tackle the detail. Honourable Alberts?
Madam Chair, thank you. Yeah, I just want to latch on to Honourable Williams. I understand that policy position. There's actually some photographs here in Parliament taken by a photographer. I can't recall the photographer's name, but he came to speak to me at some point because he said Parliament never paid him for the photographs hanging on the walls. So there's merit in that. I actually wanted to make just to clarify our own bill. I think we should not only rely on transitional positions or transitional clauses as such. I think we must take the clauses in the other act that's not that's not, you know, working at the moment. That hasn't been, there's no proclamation on it as yet from the president. We take those clauses like cultural expressions, indigenous knowledge, and all of those things, and we build it into this bill so that we have it here at hand, so that people who read the new Copyright Act will actually know what those terms mean.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kachalia.
Just procedurally, I understand what we're doing, but what we appear to be doing here is that we're going through this clause by clause. We're flagging things that the committee should look at. So the committee is going to go through it in any event, ab initio, and is going to do its job.
Sure.
And make sure that they address every letter and dot
right
in it. So this, and then it's going to come back to this committee to say for comment. So why are we doing it twice?
No, part of the problem, yes, I am on record here, part of our problem is this, that it's a practical one. We've lost time, serious amount of time here. Now, there are certain things that may assist us in moving faster. So instead of reflagging them in inverted commas, when they come back to us from the subcommittee after on the 8th, as it were, we're able to quickly move through. I've also indicated that this is the time. We'll be dealing with the policy side, and we want the technical experts to assist us on the other side. And believe you me, the intention is not to hold us up. This generally does work faster, certainly in my own experience. I did want to raise something else, though, something the advocate referred to. It did come as a surprise to us as a committee, I think, 2 years ago, that IPLA had been passed and was a flagship bill, as it were. And we learned to our surprise that it was not operational. Now, that to me, and you can see how it's now going to impact on this, because that was intended to pave the way for other copyright legislation, etc. So one does need to put it to the department, and you can come back to us next week if you can't come back now. What is the DTI's intention on IPLA, given the implication that the DST bill on IK is, you know, there are certain implications there. And I think that we don't want you to answer it here, but we would like you, DDG, to take this to the minister, because we really need to know where we are, because we're sort of saying, thinking, oh, yes, so it's in IPLA, you know, and we're moving on. Are we then going to find that some of the issues and decisions we take become null and void? Because suddenly, IPLA's null and void or whatever. You know, we're not saying it will be, but we need to be aware of what the situation is. So I just flag that for yourself, DDG. Let's get back on track here. You may have seen Ms. Madalani sit here. She's going to help me leave Parliament. Not that I'm a cripple, but, you know, no, my bag is extremely heavy, and I haven't got my hiking shoes on. So, right, so that's why she's here. And then I will hand over to the Honourable Williams. And as you know, he wears roller skates. Right, the duration of resale royalty, right. 7D, we've got that there, the resale, the 50 years is once again emphasized for us under 7D1A, B, I mean, notes all these. We're familiar with a lot of this. The A, and you know, look, if you're going to have what do I call an ideological issue, you certainly can raise it, but we won't belabor it because nothing we say will convince you otherwise. You know, there's certain positions that no party is able to convince another on, and it's as simple as that. The A, the resale after the 50 years, and then you move to the identity of the author. What if it becomes, and this came up in the public hearings, so you finally do identify the author. That's the author. What do we do then? Well, it would seem as if that falls in line of the 50 years. Is that right? Yes. And that in many ways is only fair. Not so. Right, transmission of resale royalty right may not be alienated, save... Oh, yes, Honourable McLaubel.
I'm not sure, but because I think the B is correct, but then immediately the person gets to be known or surfaces, certain issues will arise. And I don't know where do you put the provision in law, because if someone was using the right over a particular period, but the rightful owner comes up, there will be issues of accrued benefits and so forth and so forth. Because you see, the reference to point one is sufficient in terms of ownership, but is not adequate to say the development that happened before that point, how do you deal with those matters arising? Because they will arise. Probably an insertion of C that will refer to somewhere else, because it should be something, because we don't want to do something that is a gap. But we might not do the reformulation now, but let the legal counsel know that there's a second party to that.
Right. I take your point, and I think this is a suitable moment for me to hand over. We are at this... We're at the end of page 8. We haven't quite finished it, so maybe I could just finish that 7. It's page 8, 7E. Do you see that 7E at the bottom? Moving across to page 9. And in many ways, you see what is interesting here, a resale royalty right may not be assigned or waived, and any assignment or waiver of a resale royalty right is unenforceable. I know we put that in for a very specific reason. And that also came out of the public hearings, but is in line with our policy. And I don't see anyone raising their hands. So what I would like to do...
Chairperson, I think the way they formed it is the most important one, because you want to deal with the question of vulnerability that is perpetual. Because sometimes people can shoot themselves in their own foot that they used to walk under difficult conditions. This is one, is to actually create some level of discipline so that at least at a particular point they don't get to be empowered now. And in the next few corners they turn, they are back in a bad condition. I think it's very good, this one. It's a most transformative one.
Well, you can see it was as we became more aware of the implications. So, members, just allow 1 minute. Please don't decide to move off and have a cigarette or whatever. Just stay put while I leave. And Honourable Williams. Oh, your deputy, right.
And go through the bill, why is the main committee doing it? Because after the committee has gone through the bill, door by door, it needs to come back and report to the main committee. Because then it must be the main, what should be called the main committee. So now, if the subcommittee is going to do the same thing, why is the main committee doing this? Because there is a money report back from the subcommittee. Because the subcommittee is not so, and the fact that...
Thank you, members. Can we please reconvene? Thank you. Okay, we're going to move straight on again. You got your roller skates on. Good. So we're now on the top of page 9, on clause 8. This is the nature of copyright in cinematographic films. Audiovisual works. What I'm going to do in this case is I'm going to be going through the clauses like this, obviously, and then I'll be looking at the chairperson of the subcommittee if there's any issues, and then she can lead us in that.
Chair, there are no issues. You flag it, we'll deal it with it in the committee. That's what we agreed. So we're not going to discuss issues.
No, I didn't mean that we'd be discussed, but you would say that this one had a thing we need to flag it, if any members want to do that. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so we've moved past 8, now we're moving on to 9. It's royalties regarding audiovisual works. Chairperson, sorry. Yes, honourable member.
Just on point 8, a technical thing. I see cinematograph films have been replaced by audiovisual works. Now, in the original act, the word cinematograph film is used. So we'll be changing that word as well in the original act. Otherwise, there's going to be a conflict, if I understand it correctly. Can I just get clarification from the drafters, please? Thank you.
Advocate?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, indeed, it will be done. Clause 37 of this bill that is before you on page 51 says that the Principal Act, save for two sections, is hereby amended by the substitution for the expression cinematograph film and film wherever it appears in the Act of the expressions audiovisual work and work respectively. So we have done like an omnibus clause where we've just amended everything in the Principal Act so that wherever it is cinematograph film, it will now read something different, except for the specific two sections where when we checked the Act, we felt the word cinematograph film should remain there. But we have done, so we've checked that, and where it must be amended, we've now amended it.
Okay, covered. Okay, we're moving on. That was 8. We're going on to 8A. Royalties regarding audiovisual works. DDG?
Chair, thank you. On this one, we proposed the same principle as the previous section. I think it was 6A on the royalties. The concept of a transfer will be reviewed. We propose it be reviewed because the intention here is to allow for the royalties in this area.
But sorry, we only talk when we put our hands up. thank you, honourable.
I have a concern, Chair. My view is that let's not try to send everything rather than it's like we're postponing the committee for everything to say it must go to the subcommittee. What is the department proposing the appropriate way to use other than transfer? Because we should just be able to put this one into bed and move. What has been the advice? So that we don't waste time about terminologies. But we understand the context in which they are trying to manage those risks associated.
Thank you.
Chair, we can request maybe for the team, the legal drafting team, to maybe guide in terms of the right wording that would give effect that the authors will receive their royalties, not the assignment or transfer of their rights. I don't have a specific word now, but I think it's something that can quickly be amended.
So this word could come into the subcommittee. They've come to the subcommittee with this proposal. Okay, moving along. We're on 10. It's section 9 of the Principal Act, hereby amended substitute for paragraph of the following. This is the communicating of the sound recordings. Honourable member?
No,
Chair, I was on 10 on that block. I'm not sure whether you passed the block.
We haven't passed the block. Just go back to the block, you can. Yes, carry on. We haven't passed the block yet, so...
I will request that when it's time to come to page 10 on the block, I need to...
Okay, now is the time.
Prior to that, Chair, can we just flag the rationale between half the royalty payable, on what basis that's been determined?
Okay. That's flagged for the subcommittee, yep. Okay, now we're back on the block. Now is the time. With any discussions on the block? Members?
No, Chair. The thing that I'm now on 8A, the question that is asked by my colleague, I thought that wording, if you look to these prior sections, it has been dealt with before, except that there's just been use of different terminologies, because the reality is you have determined that it would be 50%. Half means 50%. Then, because, let's just use the same language, so that we don't, if we use percentages, let's do that. Then, when it comes to the block itself, I don't know why should there be a confusion in the block. Because if the 50%, if there are more than one people involved, or individuals, you do equitable and just. That's what it does. And it doesn't have to be causing confusion as if it's a policy issue. It's just an issue of application. It's equitable and just. If there are five, it will be five. Then you will actually do those mathematics and do the administration. And that's why I'm just saying, why is this block appearing? Because I was looking to say, what is the concern? And I think just technically from mathematics point of view, there is no confusion there.
Advocate for the mover.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we've actually used the word half, and that is the policy position of the DGI, that it should be half of the royalty. The concern that we then had is, what if a person is because your work is now transferred to someone else, what if that is transferred, and it speaks to the issue of contractual freedom. What if a person transfers to two different people, for instance, a publisher and an editor, for argument's sake, and the editor and the publisher then says, but why must we share 25% and the author gets 50%? It should be equal amongst us. And that is exactly why the question is there. Should this be something that is equal between the author and the copyright owners, or should it be something that is half? And that is just the question. And the concern behind it is the issue of contractual freedom. Because we might be thinking that we are protecting artists, but we might now be putting them in a position where they cannot negotiate better terms.
Thank you. I think that this has to go to the subcommittee because of the nature of it. So I would recommend that we flag this and put it in the subcommittee so that they can discuss it. Honourable Member?
No, I disagree, Chair. You see, sometimes we cause unnecessary confusion. The principle around the split of royalties has been determined to 50%. Irrespective of the numbers and the distribution are, it's a matter on how do you regulate the 50%. You don't change it. That's why probably we would actually in the subcommittee probably spend more time discussing the more fundamental policy issues and we close them. Because the more you mix policy and technical application, you cause unnecessary confusion. That's why I was actually looking at this, because you look at the spirit of this clause and the other clauses we have dealt with before, there is a similarity. And why is the wording becoming so different? Well, unfortunately, I'm speaking because I had an advantage of sitting in cabinet where some of these things they went through. And just because now we are bringing this technicality, we are diluting it. Because everybody must know that when you talk about realities and how do you do certain things, the spirit in the whole act must actually permeate as a constant issue. Nothing changes. But when there are different issues around the distribution, around sales and so forth, you can be able to regulate to see how do you do that in terms of equal, but is I call it equitable and justifiable that you'll be able to do that, so that at least you don't want to do some of those issues. And some of these issues, lastly, Chair, you will never be able to deal with some of these issues of distribution in totality in an act until you reduce them to, say, from a regulation point of view, when actually the administration of this act, where there are certain issues, you could be able to do them.
Honourable McPherson.
You see, I want to know, where does the idea of 50% come from? What is that born actually out of? And DDG, in the bill, there seems to be different ways of dealing with royalties. So let's go back to the point 7B regarding resale royalty rights. On that particular one, you want that to be determined at a rate by the minister and gazetted. So you're saying, well, we're going to outsource that to the two ministers to determine. On this one, you say, no, actually it is 50%, you know, whether you like it or not, and notwithstanding Advocate Van der Merwe's point that you actually you don't give people an opportunity to go through a contractual process. So I just want to understand why there seems to be, you know, varying ways of dealing with royalties, instead of actually providing a framework for people to, and a regulatory framework for people to contract and to understand, you know, how they want royalties to be split and at what rate, and why we have, you know, different systems for different occasions.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Notwithstanding what the Honourable McPherson are saying, it's very good points. But I think this came also up yesterday in our subcommittee, and Ms. Kachalian have alluded to it earlier on as well, as to, you know, we need reflection or research back as to why some of these percentages are put it into the bill and stuff like that. From which research is it done or taken from, or on which grounds were this decision taken? I think that is what we have discussed yesterday in the subcommittee as well. So I think let's this one as well, Chair. It's not like that we are pushing it back or everything to the subcommittee, but some of the things have came up in the subcommittee meeting that we're having, and the department still maybe perhaps doing work. If the doctor have completed it, she can enlighten us on it now. But I know some of these have come up in the subcommittee. And I think the point of McPherson needs to be looked at, that two variances on the percentages. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to agree. I think, you know, it is important that artists are protected. That principle we all accept. And we know that works are reused and reused by large corporate entities, and the artists never see that any money. And there was no certainty in our law before that they actually have a reuse right, if I can put it that way. So that principle is fine, but we need to understand, as the other honourable members have alluded to, the rationale for the percentage. And the reason for that is that we need to make sure that we don't harm the industry as such. We also want to push them, of course, to make sure that they look after the artists, who gives them the content that they feed us, television or whatever it may be. But we need to understand the logic behind the percentages, so that, and I think this is also important going forward, if anything becomes challenged in the court, this committee can say, but here's our research, we've done our due diligence, and it was a rational decision, and not just something that we thought was equitable because we had a feeling it is. Thank you.
DDG.
Thank you, Chair, and rightfully so, the issues you've raised, honourable members, we did talk about them yesterday in the subcommittee, we've noted them. There are serious dire challenges in the industry, I mean, regarding our artists and them being abused for many years. In terms of the, I would like to distinguish between the musical industry and the other sector around the artists. In terms of regulations, there has not been much provided in terms of the other types of sectors like this, the artists and so on. But in terms of the recording and the music, there is some form of regulations, even if they need to be tightened. We've had for many years had challenges regarding the issues of royalties and what needs to be done for the artists. In terms of the research, the Falam Commission has unearthed different issues around the rights that are needed for our artists. And I think one of the recommendations is from there as well in terms of the equitable share of the royalties for our musicians. And we are also saying that apart from the equitable share, we can strengthen this also through the contractual agreements. So we want to ensure that the provisions that talk to royalties must also factor in an element of a contractual arrangement, because certain dynamics may be different where you have many role players in the contract or in the arrangement. So that right must be provided. But in terms of the equitable, given the abuses that have been there for so many years and the fact that our musicians and the artists have not been receiving any economic incentives, we are comfortable with the 50-50 split. But we do take into account that we should allow the arrangements to be made with contracts where possible.
Honourable Mkhlobo.
Chairperson, thanks. I hope I'm hearing the DDG well, and also the comment that is a concern from my colleagues behind. I think it will help in our engagement that we become consistent, one, in terms of language, and also be consistent with outcomes either of a commission or a research work, that we know the source of that research, or court decisions. You know, now if you read that block and we are causing unnecessary confusion, is it the real word used by the commission, equal or equitable? And if the word, like the DDG is she saying now, is equitable, equitable does not mean 50%. And we've been in court for various transactions that has certain implication for one ruling or the other, where you actually go and get a declaratory order for equitable and just. Until you get that definition, what does it mean? And looking at those other case studies, you're going to cause confusion. For an example, this thing of 50-50, if you read your notes here, is neither here or there. And we are using the word equal. Immediately you choose the word equal, it changes the whole dimension. That's why I was raising the question to say, but why are you using the word today equal, the next time is half? But if it is correct, it should be on record. Is it equal or equitable? And if it's the latter part, there have been decisions by our courts. And the department must be able to say from a regulatory point, what are the mechanisms that you can say this thing is equitable and just, because it's not the same. There are a number of things that you take into consideration. For an example, you can have a present value of an asset, because if you talk about this thing, it's an asset. It has a present value, but after you do certain things over a particular point in time, it will give you a future value. And how then do you ensure that in terms of your input into that future value that might have been enhanced, then it becomes more equitable? It does not mean the same. Can you do your research and be able to say, what are you talking about? Because I will hate, with due respect, Comrade Chair, I go to a committee, it gets postponed, it's just a waste of time. Thank you.
Thank you. I absolutely agree with that. I do believe that we should have in this legislation consistency. In other words, then, if we use 50%, we keep using 50%. And I can definitely see that if we allow this to be so vague, if we don't lock this down, the artists, the performers are going to be exploited massively around this because, you could divide that work by 100 people and now it's equitable, we each get 1%. So it is problematic. So definitely I think we do need to lock this down. And the department does need to come back to the subcommittee or something, or to the committee, but to the subcommittee with the reasons around the 50%. Where does that come from? So that everybody can understand that.
Yeah. Chair, I think we should not miss the point. McPherson is saying, Honourable McPherson says that, where do you get this? And I want the DDG to confirm on record, did Falam use the word equitable or equal? If he used the word equitable, I can say with my exposure, I've gone to court several times on disputes around certain transactions. Equitable does not mean equal. Because equitable, it looks at a value of an asset at a particular point in time, and the things that have been done, either to have a value add or depreciation, whether there was an appreciation or depreciation. And then when the time is being made, those things are taken into consideration. The equitable part of it is more about contribution. And then there's a formula that you will then be able to determine the figures that you need to bear. It's not only equitable, but it's also say, is it just? In other words, from a legislative point of view, can you just go back and say, what is this thing say? If you are able to say it now so that at least this notion of 50%, because the 50% is a permutation on the basis of the inception of the word equal.
DDG.
Chair and Honourable Mr. Mahlobo, I appreciate the technicality around the wording equitable and equal and what it could have implications on if it's not properly contextualized. I think I will request my colleagues to assist in terms of the confirmation. I will not say to you right now it's equitable or equal, but the principle is that there must be that split where the parties concerned, they receive equal shares of what is due to them. But the issue around where is the source from, the rationale behind our royalty split issue, especially on the musicians, is informed by our Falam Commission report. But I'll request Ms. Mishendri and the other colleagues to assist in terms of the specifics. But we are available to come back officially, properly, with a response, without just responding for the sake of responding here.
Honourable Biani?
Now you can pronounce my surname correctly. Yeah, you're progressive. I think, Chair, on this one, we need a serious research on the matter. Because we must understand that we must take a stance. Because we're trying to protect the artist. Yeah. And therefore, the artist must be able at least not to get below the 50% because they are original work, and that is key. And also, in terms of this one, we must take a decision and have a position. If we're saying it's 50%, what informs that 50%? Is there any international practice on that? But we must not forget that as we here, we're representing the masses of our people. And the masses of our people, they cannot originate something and get less than 50% on the original intention.
Thank you, Honourable Kachalia, and the other Honourable Members. If you'd like to have a subcommittee during my meeting, then you might like to step outside.
Considerable apologies, Chair, but I was just chatting to the subcommittee chairperson, and I just want to reiterate, I don't know whether the previous chair fully understood what I was saying, because what we're doing here is we are flagging issues which the subcommittee will look at. The subcommittee is going to look at all these issues. Honorable Mahlobo has his laundry list. I have my laundry list. Honorable Sangwini has her laundry list. And we will do this in subcommittee. Then we'll bring it back here. Now, this seems to be utterly duplicatory given the shortness of time. I'd like you to take a view on that, Chair.
Thank you. Yes, I do see your point there. However, for instance, the issue around the 50% and where it comes from, it's good that it was raised here so that, you know, if we had stopped this meeting, we wouldn't have raised this issue. It would have been another 3 weeks before that came up. So, DGG, we're going to move. Are you still on the 50%? Yes, carry on with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to request Ms. Padayachi to come in just to assist with that context.
Thank you, Chair. We're only going to come in on one issue, which is the Farlam report, and I'm reading word for word verbatim. He recommends an amendment to the legislation to confirm a 50% split, but it was on needle time between the performers and recording entities. So we can clear that up in terms of needle time and music-related rights. That was a 50% a percentage, and then we'll come back on the other areas of how the split works.
Thank you. That's fine. They're going to come back on how that works, so we're all happy with that. Now, the Honourable Kachalia has raised an issue that means that if we continue like this that we're going now, we're basically going to just repeat this again in the subcommittee and then in all meetings thereafter, Honourable Member.
Well, Honourable Kachalia in part is correct, but it's not adequate. You see, Chairperson, there is a matter that you will find that it keeps appearing all the time, and it affects the other things that we're supposed to do. And if it doesn't get to be cleared, the whole exercise is in futility. For an example, that now the reference to what Farnham did actually say, it was more limited. And the bill creates an impression that is unlimited. It covers all the other aspects. Then just logic says to you, it has a ripple effect on how you read. Let's not, I think because now the matter, this one has been clarified, because this box is continuously appearing in number of pages. And I'm happy now it has been clarified. Let's know that Farnham has done a limitation. They will look at the expanded mechanism, whether should it actually apply to mutandis mutandis, so that it can be able, because the condition might not be the same. But it's important that if something is becoming bothering, let's ask it, but let's not dwell too much on it.
Okay, so we understand what's happening here with this box. We're going to get clarity from the department, whether it's extended across to everybody. But we understand about the Farlam Commission's response to that 50%. So we can move now. Okay, so we're just above Section 10. It says Section 9, the principle of the Act, hereby amends the substitution for paragraph in the following paragraphs. Communications and recording. Members, is there anything to be said about Clause 10? Honourable Esterhazen.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a problem with this. Advertising companies maybe write songs or do work for big brands. Somebody line, for example, Stir Fry Marketing. Now, what we're saying here now is that we're opening this up completely. We can play music anywhere without compensation, without permission from anybody. This has never happened before. And maybe Advocate Van Amerika could just answer me, what happened to the composers and authors and publishers association where all advertising was registered under, and we had to get permission, or whatever, even somebody, even whatever company had to get permission to play this. Now we're opening this completely. So anybody can take your song and go and play it in China and make music and make money out of this, for example. This is what you just said to you, consistency. This is not
advocate for the mover.
I'm sorry, I'm a bit confused. I don't think that's what the bill does at all. So maybe I'm not understanding the question of the member.
I think I got it.
I do understand. Look at it. It's 10E. It says communication, the sound recording by wire or wireless means to the public, so that any member of the public may access the sound recording from a place and time chosen by that person. So in other words, then, you can access anything, but give us some clarity there, please, and then Honourable.
That isn't the intention of the bill. We also need to keep in mind that we are exceeding or intend to accede to several international treaties from WIPO, and this also comes from the Farlam Commission report. It's modernizing our act. It's a direct right from the WIPO Copyright Treaty and the WIPO Performers and Phonograms Protection Treaty. So basically communicating a work to the public is not that you can go and play a song anywhere. It's that we today in digital times can access music by any forms, whether on our phones, which, you know, so that's what it's trying to address. It's giving the right that is in the treaties of access to works on the internet. It covers streaming, it covers a lot of digital content, but it's not meaning physically that so anyone can go and play a song without getting permission in public forums, etc. It's a right straight from the treaty. But we can come back with a more thorough, from the treaty, a more complex legal explanation.
Chair, this one that Honourable Member is raising, it's a valid point. But also, Ms. Padash, the response, you know what, we are dealing with the biggest challenge of our time. It's called the borderless platform. Some of us, we produce the cybersecurity bill. And I can tell you it's not an easy thing. For an example, you can empower them, and you secure that people should be able to, they should be able, it's more about actual issues of technology, because I can access it and I buy it. And immediately it's in my hand, I own that because I've been able to actually get it. Then I distribute it. It has happened. It's not only on these matters we are dealing with. Even a lot of other books, you saw the issues of certain books that we've been dealing with last year. You remember it was some season for us on our church. And you can't control it. And you need to be able to think very hard to say, in as much as we are trying to deal with issues of exploitations, in the cyberspace and in the cyber world, how do you actually put the balance and check so that the right issues that the Honourable Member is raising, it's a valid issue. They don't need your permission. Anyone can access it. I can hack it. I'm not saying that on record I'm going to hack it, Chair.
Now it's on record. I'm not sure now. There'll be no pirating here.
No, but that's the real world. Because remember, make a bill that is able to be agile to the situation and the times we're in. And I don't think we have thought very hard to say, what are the security issues to manage it? I can tell you, currently our legislation around cyberspace, not very good. And not only about that, you can put the issues of security and codes. And people are actually well trained. You know, they can hack elections, they can hack anything. They will be able to access it, and depending on the level of encryption and so forth that you will do. But let's be able to say, how do you deal with the issues of wireless or the wire transmission? You can't be able to do. But it's one of the things that even with the security cluster to be able to assist you.
Okay, DGG and then the advocate.
Chair, there are provisions in the legislation that offers protection on the wireless. We have the TPMs that have been prescribed
that are looking into how to circumvent these types of potential exploitation digitally. So I think, in a way, our legislation, the bill, has got provisions that addresses that.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies for my first response. I really didn't understand what the concern was. If we look at Clause 10, we must just remember that we need to read it with Section 9 of the Principal Act. Section 9 of the Principal Act reads, copyright in a sound recording vests the exclusive right to do or to authorize the doing of any of the following acts in the Republic. Then E will read, communicating the sound recording by wire or wireless means to the public so that any member of the public may access the sound recording from a place at a time chosen by that person. In other words, it is not opening it up for the user. This is vesting a right, and it's describing the right of the person who owns the copyright. So it gives the person who owns the copyright the, because our act is a bit outdated when you look at new technology. So all that it does is it says this right of the copyright owner also includes the new technologies and things that are available. And then just to confirm, it is Clause 29 of the bill that deals with the protection, technological protection measures. So definitely, I agree with the member. It is something that this committee must consider, all the risks and so on that are associated with it, but it is covered in Clause 29, and the committee will look at it then at those measures, and it may be a good thing to keep in mind these wire and wireless measures that we're putting in when we get to Clause 29.
Sorry, members, before we continue, I've just been informed that there's another meeting coming into this room in at 12 o'clock, so we must just bear that in mind. So we've got 15 minutes, so if anybody wants to, yeah, so we're going to close at 12 o'clock. But
Chairperson, thanks. I think I can hear the explanation, but the question that Honourable Member has raised, it remains valid. You see, let's not talk about the spirit of the Act and forget what is real. The reality, it happens. And many states are failing to actually curb it. It's a reality. That's why I'm speaking about my previous life, you know, because you do this thing for life. This is happening. Rather, in the legislation, you need to put the recourse mechanism. People are actually in a borderless space right now, and many things are happening. Even the biggest democracies, those that have the sophisticated security system, you go on the screen right now, you can see how phishing is happening, how hacking is happening. Thousands of them happening in 1 minute. Probably let's have a discussion there, but you need to do a little bit more. It's not sufficient what we see there. That's why I'm saying bounce it off with your colleagues in the security services, because it's happening every day. He is correct. And you will see. Therefore, I will read also that section that they are referring to.
TGG?
I will echo what Advocate is saying, Chair. It has been provided for, but I do agree that we need to strengthen enforcement in the country around this area. The cyberspace gives a lot of challenges in terms of enforcement, and also some of the issues that are being mentioned here, they border around the issue of piracy. And it does not mean that the bill is not sufficient. It means that more needs to be done to put in place measures to ensure we have a stronger enforcement on this.
Thank you, Honourable Esther Hazen.
Chief, thank you. What I'm saying, you know, just say that any member can place at any time, any chosen time. Advertising companies need to register with CAPASO. That's the Composer Office and Publisher Association. So that means that they doesn't justify their existence anymore, CAPASO. Then we don't have to register with them anymore. That is exactly what you're saying here.
We're definitely going to have to take this back to the subcommittee after, you know, definitely without a doubt. And I hope subcommittee members are paying attention to what everybody's raising here, these issues about all sorts of things, piracy, etc., etc. And I wonder if we could not have one meeting, please. Honourable members. It's oh my goodness, this is a problem here, you know. I'm going to have to get the security forces in here just now to separate you. Okay, we're moving along to 9A, or 11, it's royalties. Honourable McPherson.
Yeah, I just want to make the point that on this one now, we 9A, that we now recognise contractual agreements between a copyright holder and a broadcaster. So that's now a third way in. So, I mean, previously we said, no, the minister must determine what, royalties should be paid on one particular issue. Then we said, no, then on this particular issue it must be 50%. Now we recognize that, in fact, contractual issues may exist. And so, DDG, I can't understand how, on the one hand, we said, no, the minister must deal with this. On the other hand, we said it's 50%. But then on another point, we said, but we also recognize contractual issues. You can't have so many different variations when it comes to, copyright recognition. And that's why I think that the subcommittee really needs to think, you know, what avenue doesn't want to go down. Is it going to allow copyright holders and users to negotiate contractual agreements? Or is it going to be decided by the minister? Or is it going to be enforced by regulation? You have to pick one, but you can't have all three.
DDG.
Okay, I will repeat what I said earlier. Regarding the artists and the musicians, these sectors are different. And with the music industry, there is a regulatory framework already in place to look at how they operate. With regard to the visual artists and the sculptors and the painters, we don't have a framework per se, and hence it's treated differently to the music industry. In terms of the contractual, we've been saying throughout today in this meeting that we need to look at the issue of the agreement. From the first one, 6A, to the previous one, we did say that the issue of agreement on the recordings, that we need to factor it in to allow for more space and scope for negotiation. So that we agree with you on the agreements, that we need to be consistent with that. But the one about the artists, the visual artists and others, we think that it's a bit different because of the way that the sector is structured. So I wouldn't treat them more or less the same way.
Thank you. Honourable members, if you were finished eating your peaches there in the front, yeah, we can get back to the legislation before us, please. Okay. So with regard to that, then, the 9A with regard to royalties, the point that Honourable McPherson made has been answered by the department, and because of the differences in the scope of these areas, they must be treated differently. We can move now to 9A. What's that? A with another A and an A. Baby A and a big A. Yes, DDG.
Sorry to take you back, Chair. Regarding the contract, we would like to also propose that we have a template of a contract. It's one of the areas that has been highlighted that many of the role players or the rights holders, they don't know how to structure contracts, and that's where most of the abuses take place. Some of them, they assign most of their rights on the contracting without even realizing. So you give away all your rights and then you expect the royalty, but you gave away your power. So we need to come up with a template for the contract to have standard clauses, because they don't know what are the standard issues they should have, whether there's a dispute, when the term is ending. So the abuses actually happens on the contract. So we shouldn't look at the contract in a very simple way. We need to tighten the contract, and it must be regulated so that it's not a voluntary process.
Honourable Member.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. I support this. As part of your regulation, have a general conditions of a contract. But with the proviso that you allow special conditions, then you have the main and the generic one. That's one part. But number two is not going to be solved, these exploitations are not going to be solved only by the question of that, which is one instrument. But a lot of work done by, especially by the departments of arts and culture, there is a lot of work that needs to be done around support measures. Because immediately these people, they emerge and get into this industry. Because where they come from, there has to be a support mechanism. And the support mechanism, they will be so empowered that as individuals or entities, they could be able to enter into a valid contract that does not expose them in one way or the other.
Thank you. Okay, you covered there. Okay, we're going to move now. I've just heard now that we might have to leave. So the story about this 12 o'clock that I just said to you is what the secretary informed me about, was that there is another committee book, but there doesn't seem to be anybody outside. So we're going to continue now. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, it's a new, we're going to sit here and work hard. Pass some legislation. Help the people. Come on. Yeah, remember, it's not a democracy in this committee. Okay. So we're moving on to the next paragraph there, under three. It says AA. A small A and a big A. Page, the bottom of page 10. I can't hear what the members are mumbling in the background there. Okay.
Let's clean up our nomenclature going forward.
Okay, there's no issues there. Okay, next page. Next page, there's a box. The box is talking about policy. Why is it left to the user to propose terms and conditions of payment? Okay. What are the queries around there? I'll ask the chairperson of the subcommittee to explain this box to us. Thank you, chairperson. Oh, sorry, I apologize, as chairperson of subcommittee, it's the advocate's box. Advocate?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, if we look at what we read in royalties, it indicates that any person who intends to perform an act must submit a notice to say, I'm going to do this, must indicate the date of the performance and the proposed terms and conditions of the payment of the royalty. So in other words, I am going to stage Evita. I'm the user. I'm not the copyright owner. But I then write to the copyright owner and I say, okay, I will pay you in 120 days' time and I will only pay you 50% and then I will pay you another 50% in 180 days' time. So the question that we're just asking is, surely the terms and conditions of the payment of the royalty should not be for the person who's going to stage Evita. It should be for the person who owns the copyright to Evita to say, if you want to stage my production that I have the copyright over, you will pay me within 30 days and you will pay me 100% or whatever the terms are. So I think it's just a wording thing. But like I said, we didn't want to change policy. And to actually change it to say that it is the maybe a proposal that can be made, but that we somewhere just indicate that the final rights remains with the copyright owner to determine. Because the way that it is worded, you almost get the feeling that there's a power given to the user which should belong to the copyright owner. So it also then looks that the copyright owner, the way that it's worded, it also looks like the copyright owner can't say, no, you're not allowed to use my copyright work. You know, there's no choice for the copyright owner. So you're actually taking some power away from the copyright owner. So the concern there is just that becomes a policy issue because the way that we need to change the bill will change the introduced bill's policy, and that is why we highlighted it as a policy issue. But when we discussed with DTI, it was quite clear that was not the intention for that to be the policy. You don't want the user to have more rights than the copyright owner. So it is just that we need to confirm that we can actually fix it so that the correct power base lies with the copyright owner.
Thank you, Honourable.
Well, on the first part around the residence of the decision making, I think it's in the right place if it's with the owner, because that's the spirit. But then there's a second part, which is an administrative action. When do I get to be paid? And this is one of the problems that we've experienced of non-payment for some time. And I thought in the current environment, the payment arrangement in terms of contracts in government, immediately you received the right invoices on the table, there's a 30-day period to pay. Because it can't be different, because if you don't put a stringent issue on the second part, the time of payment, this is a, these royalties and so forth, that have been perpetually not paid, and people run away. And I don't think we should be able to look for something new. We can import and borrow the principles adopted in the PFMA.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to move along now to the next paragraph, which is AB. Sorry, I didn't get that, Honourable Member. Maybe you'd like to repeat it loudly. Members, this bill is very important, and we can't just duck out because we want to duck out. We must work on this bill. So please, we must continue. In fact, we should work into lunchtime like we did yesterday. So we're continuing now, members. Please, we're going to AB. If a person referred to in paragraph AA has failed to submit the required notice to the etc., etc. What is happy? Okay, next one is AC. I just want some clarity myself. These A, B, A, C, A, D, are they all referring to the same?
It's, you know, they just taken all the administrative issues and throw them into an act. These things, we should have thrown them into regulations with due respect. We make this bill or act ultimately so laborious. Because with due respect, the one at the beginning at the top, it suffices. The mechanisms, they must determine them. But it's okay.
Thank you.
But it's very funny to include both at the same.
Okay, so what I'm going to do then is we're going to move to 2A on page 12.
I support it.
Just a moment, please. Members, please don't just shout from your seats. This isn't the house.
Small house.
Here there's order. There will be order in this house, yes. It's not that you approve. What we're interested in is if you don't like it, you must raise an issue so that it can be flagged for the subcommittee. We'll start off with Honourable Teko.
Thanks, Chair. Can they explain about the collecting society before we approve the whole thing, so that we know what's happening? Because I know on the collecting society we do have a problem with that part. So I need to check if we put the collecting society and what are the problems that we are creating there for our people. Because the collecting society now they're collecting, but people are not receiving their royalties as it is.
Okay, DTI?
There is a specific provision that looks at, it's actually sections that look at the collecting societies. I think it's 22. clarify the provision for 22. Clause 25, it covers. It's on page 27. So the whole administration, regulation, accreditation of the collecting societies are in that. Unless, Honourable Member, you had a specific area on where we are talking to the collecting society that you wanted clarity on.
The issue of collecting, there was a concern from the submission that we received. So I wanted to check if we are still continuing the current situation as it is for the collecting society, what are the implications of the bill itself?
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Chairperson, thank you. On 2A, I see on line 3, talking about equally shared, probably in our definition, the equally shared should be meaning that it's a 50-50 split. But I wanted to check, Chair, there is a B and C. The B and C there under 2 is now in those square brackets. Does it mean it's going to be deleted? And if that's the way that it's going to get deleted, it's okay. But then before, because this is actually in the Principal Act, I assume, you just have to go back, because these boxes that have been given us as problem in the Principal Act, it never used the word equal. Like you see on B, it used the word fair and equitable. While we are dealing with that limited scope by FALAM of the 50%, but the principle of fair and equitable has been used in the main act. And how do you superimpose it here while we are trying to juxtapose the question of one area that around the specific area that was used? Don't lose it, but because I could see it's an important note that is coming out of that part. Thank you, Chair.
DTI.
I'm saying we are flagging, then we'll deal with it on the subcommittee. That's what I was trying to do here. Okay. Unless you need a response now, Chair.
No, I never needed a response. I'm saying the team, when they come to the subcommittee, let them be more prepared. We don't want to go through this thing again. This is traumatic. The issues that need to be cleared, let's deal with the bigger issues, we clear them. Then people who are doing technical writing, let them clear them, because the fundamental issues are more about policy intent. What are you changing? Why are you changing? What are the implications, positive and negative?
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. So, yes, it's going to the subcommittee, but you're absolutely right. We do need that clarity. You're right. We can't keep going round and round in circles. Okay, so we're moving now to section 12. Okay, I've just had news that we must stop this meeting because we're clashing with another meeting. So I'd like to thank all the honourable members for their diligent hard work in this committee, and I will now announce that just a minute, we've got an announcement. Members, please bring the same documents when we're discussing this legislation. Please bring the same documents again next time. Thank you very much. The meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, Chair, for chairing in a very progressive way.